Can you hear me? Sounds like it. Sounds like it. We're going through Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're talking about the armor of God. The armor of God. Galatians, Ephesians 6. Tonight we have a special treat to illustrate the armor of God. We have Mike Yakinen, my wife's brother. Why don't you come on up here? He's sort of dressed up totally in the armor and the helmet and everything. How he's just about how he's supposed to be. I don't know how many of you lifted up that vest last week and a couple weeks ago, whenever it was, and saw how heavy it was. But he had to, when he was in Afghanistan for almost a year, he had to wear this stuff all the time. So remember the breastplate? Actually, if anybody's concealed carrying, we can actually shoot him right in the chest right now. I'm kidding, okay? People thought I was serious. And the helmet, too. Thank you, Mike. You can go ahead and take that off. I know it's heavy. So, not everything. This is a G church. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 6, starting in my... Andrea wanted a picture. You're going to have to put it on again later. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 13. Hopefully everybody's there by now. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And remember this word that's repeated over and over and over again. Stand, stand, stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we've been having fun, at least I've been having fun, going through this whole Armor of God series. And tonight we're hitting on this shoes, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. So the shoes of the gospel of peace. And we've looked at the belt of truth. We talked about how the belt is one of the most important things. And I did bring in a pistol belt. This is what many soldiers wear. You'll see how rigid and stiff this is. If you hang pistols and knives and a bunch of stuff off of it, you don't want it bending over very easily. So you'll be able to look at this a little later, and I have one on very similar, but it's very rigid, stiff belt. You have to have that, and hold not just to hold up your pants, but to hold up all your gear and everything. Then we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, very important, that piece of armor to protect your vitals. And he actually has one front and back. And tonight is the shoes of the gospel, and shoes or boots. And in order for me to wear combat boots, I had to wear not a suit. I didn't think they would look good with a suit. So I changed my clothes a little bit just to be able to illustrate that a little bit for you. Shoes are essential to every soldier. Very essential. Especially important for those who are involved in hand-to-hand combat, which is implied in this section of verses. Look at verse 12. I know we didn't read that, but it says, we do not wrestle. That word there, wrestle, is an implication of very close, physical, hand-to-hand combat. So if we are in this hand-to-hand combat, we need good shoes. Now we're fighting the world. We're fighting the flesh, and in context here, we're fighting the devil. Now, it's a battle with Satan, and he will do all that he can do to destroy our relationship with God. So it really is a war. It's a battle from the moment of salvation. Actually, if we did a really long Bible study, we would see that Satan is out to get us before we even are saved. He's working to blind our eyes. He's working to do all these things and hurt our relationship with God. And so it is a war. We also read in the Bible that he lies. He's the father of lies. He's the accuser of the brethren, basically nonstop for our entire lives, and that's the way it's always looked. It's not just like, oh, this is unique to us that we have Satan fighting us. No, it's always been this way all down through the centuries. Christians have been killed. Churches have been persecuted. Faithful Christians are always under threat of attack. Now, in our country, I realize that we haven't had much of this, but it's happening more and more, potentially to get worse. And Satan, I think, is waiting for the right time to pounce. Isn't that what 1 Peter 5:8, Satan walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And just because he's not pounced on us and destroying us right now doesn't mean that he's not waiting to do that, to pounce and devour his prey. So how will we fight him off? How will we have a victory? Well, some people think, well, we got to exorcise the demons. And some people say we have to do all these weird rituals in order to keep Satan away. And God says, it's not really that weird or anything like that. 2 Corinthians, I'm just going to read this really quick. You don't have to turn there. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us. See, we have to be ready because Satan could take advantage of us at any time. So this Ephesians 6 says, put on the armor, right? And we also have to realize that this is not a physical battle against physical creatures. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You know what the Greek word for carnal is? Sarx. Carne would be Spanish. Carne asada, steak. You've heard that at Taco Bell. That's Spanish for flesh, for meat. Okay, these weapons that we use to fight Satan, they're not fleshly weapons. They're not physical weapons, okay? But mighty in God, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The weapons aren't fleshly. We need spiritual weapons, which that's what this list is. In Ephesians 6, their spiritual armor. The belt, it signifies commitment and readiness. You can write that down because in a couple weeks we're going to have a quiz, okay? Belt signifies commitment and readiness. The breastplate signifies a lifestyle of holiness. Now, the breastplate of righteousness sort of gives that away, but it signifies a lifestyle of holiness. I'm going to read another verse here, too. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There's all kinds of verses throughout the New Testament that stress personal holiness. And that's all the breastplate of righteousness is talking about. But tonight, our boots, shod with the gospel of peace. Nowadays, shoes are mostly looked at for what reason? Style. I had fashion in my notes, the same thing. Looks. Mostly shoes are just for style. Walking in mud. Okay. Thanks, Tommy. We're going to get to that in a minute. It's mostly because of fashion. We don't really need shoes because of mud, right? We typically walk on the sidewalk. We don't leave the sidewalk and go through the mud. I know young children do that, but we don't have nasty roads. We have sidewalks. We don't have jagged rocks that look out for. We don't have animal droppings that we're trying to dodge. But put yourself in Bible times for a moment. Because this is who this was written to. There weren't paved roads. There weren't nice sidewalks. There was thorns. There was thistles. There was rocks. There was manure. And when they wore shoes, it was not for fashion. It was for protection. Now, we only strap on shoes when we are going into combat. Well, then we need protection then. If we're going to play football, we need special shoes with cleats on the bottom. And if we are going hiking, we need hiking boots. And there's certain times when we do need shoes for protection. But soldiers, they always needed them. And the same is true with modern soldiers today. And even in ancient times, and Pastor Don says he's unearthed a book about Roman armor in his collection. And we can talk about this later, but even Roman soldiers had different styles of shoes. If they were marching into an area and the enemy would sometimes put sharp sticks and they would bury them a little bit under the ground, and you can have big, strong, burly Goliath men that are ready to take out somebody, but if their feet get hurt, they're done. So the Roman soldiers developed a type of shoe that had a very heavy, thick sole in it so that those stakes wouldn't go through and hurt their feet. The Roman soldiers had winter shoes for extreme cold weather situations. And soldiers in our modern army, they have summer boots, they have winter boots, they have extreme cold weather boots. Anybody remember the Mickey Mouse boots? Those were for high altitude, and you didn't really want to march in those boots. I know sometimes people had to. Sometimes you need a light shoe for high-speed operations. They even have special shoes that the boots are on the side, on the insole of it, where they can rappel down ropes that are hanging out helicopters, and there's little spots for the ropes to go on. And all of these things that are true in our modern army were true in ancient times. The Roman legionnaires would actually carry shoes with them, marching and fighting and doing all these things. And if you really look at history, wars, entire wars, have been lost over something as simple as shoes. Yeah, they also need gloves, but shoes are very important. In fact, Gettysburg, from my recollection, I didn't check this again, some of you history buffs might be able to correct me. Gettysburg, the reason why the South went that far north and away from their supply lines, away from the things that they, their homeland, where they could be supported, was there was a shoe factory. Is that correct? You don't know? I thought you knew all history, okay? Yeah, there was a shoe factory, and they were trying to get these shoes. Their army, Lee's army, needed shoes. And it ended up being the turning point of the Civil War. And all soldiers, all general, all people know that shoes are very important. You can hurt your arm, you can hurt your right arm, and you can still fight with your left arm. You can hurt your shoulder, and you can still keep moving and get the job done. But if your feet hurt, you are done. So the Bible says the believer needs to have on shoes. You can get out in the battle with your belt on and totally ready and committed. You can go to the fight with your breastplate on, having this lifestyle of righteousness, but if your feet are not protected, you will fall. You have to have a solid base. Verse 15, just to look there again. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation there, another way that could be translated is equipped. Okay? You need to have your feet equipped. Equipped, and that's almost implying some readiness there too. But we have to be very careful how we interpret this verse and apply this verse, because this verse is not about going out and preaching. Maybe you're thinking, whoa, Pastor Josh going off his rocker again, okay? No, this is about verse 14. Remember that word that I kept talking, that this repeats over and over? This verse is about standing. You cannot stand up to the devil and fight him without a solid base, without proper shoes. This is about standing. This is not about going. Now, this doesn't mean we don't go out and preach. Certainly we do. We obviously do. But that's not what this particular verse is about. All this is saying is if and when we know and we understand the gospel, we can stand our ground. When we have a thorough understanding of the gospel, we can stand our ground at that point. So for the sake of review, what is the gospel of peace? Why don't you turn over a few pages to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5. What is the gospel of peace? Just to quickly review, I don't want to leave any stone unturned here. Romans chapter 5, we'll start in verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In the past, before we were saved, we were under God's wrath. Verse 10, I didn't read that one, but it says we were what? Towards God. Enemies. Enemies of God. We were against God and on Satan's side. Now, until we heard the gospel, and then we placed our faith in him, and we made what, according to Romans 5:1? We made peace with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So ultimately, and you don't have to turn there, I'll turn there very quickly, Colossians 1:20. Who made that peace with God ultimately? I thought I heard it. Jim? Jesus, thank you. Colossians 1:20. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having been having made peace through the blood of his cross. So the gospel of peace is this protection that we have against Satan. So we can literally stand firm and be ready with all these parts of the armor, and there's more we'll eventually get to in the coming weeks. You can basically say, hey, you can come at me all you want. You can lie, whatever you want to do, but I'm on God's side. Jesus paid the penalty for my sin. He's made peace with God. I'm no longer on God's wrath, and I'm leaning on that faith. And when we have that knowledge, we have something that we can stand on. There can be some confidence there. And just to be totally transparent, if I wasn't a believer and I didn't have God on my side, I'd be sunk. I'd have no confidence. I'd have no hope. But just knowing that Jesus is on my side, there's nothing to worry about. We can be strong, and we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Isn't that in Ephesians? I didn't get there yet in that chapter. Now here's some questions to consider. Do I want to win? Do I want to win against Satan? So what's that first piece of armor that we put on to signify readiness and commitment to a desire to win? The belt. Okay, I told you there was a quiz. All right, second question. Am I living a holy life? What's the second piece of armor that we put on? Breastplate of righteousness. And the final question, am I bold because I know God is on my side? The shoes. Okay? So these are just some questions to consider. Do I want to win against this battle with Satan? If I do, I'm going to put on this belt. Am I living a holy life? I'll have this breastplate on. And am I bold because I know God's on my side? Now this is, like I say, it's been an exciting study for me. We'll be looking at, over the next couple weeks, we'll be looking at the helmet of salvation. And finally, the shield of faith first, then the helmet of salvation, and finally the sword of the Spirit. So we have about 3 more weeks. Is there any questions, comments on anything that I said? Anything? Anybody? Bill?
Satan was cast down to earth after the battle of the angels here today.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, they were taught in the Catholic Church.
Yeah. Yep. And he's here, and he's accusing us, and we need to be ready. Is there anything else? Mark? You look like your wheels are turning. Yeah. Was your hand up, or? Okay. Yeah, that's coming up. That'll be a good study. I don't have a shield. Maybe I can use like a trash can lid. Ooh, yeah. Yep. We'll get into the fiery darts and the shield. Yeah, we can't ruin next week. We got to give people something to want to come back for. Is there anything else, Tom?
We had an interesting experience Friday night. My grandson started home from college, and his car broke down in the middle of, I think, what the city was.
Asheville.
And we all prayed. He called us and we prayed for us. He was all excited. Believe it or not, a tow truck driver stopped. What the problem was, took him to town, brought him back out, fixed his car, and followed him up to the motel and didn't charge him a nickel.
Yeah. Good testimony. Thank you. Thank you for that. Is there anybody else? Don Miller. And if I recall correctly, their clothes and shoes didn't wear out. That'd be neat. I used to get boots, Caterpillar boots, and they'd last me 4 years. And now they only last about a year and a half. I don't know if the quality is getting bad or something. I don't know. It's the same exact pair of boots every time. They don't last as long anymore. Chasing around my kids too much? Is that what you said? Yeah, I used to work at the concrete plant doing everything, and they'd last 4 years. And now that I have kids, they only last about a year.
Chasing Andrea around.
Is there any other comments, questions? The ones I'm wearing are not made in China. The other ones, I've never looked into that. The boots I'm wearing now, all U.S. military clothes that anybody wears, it's called the Berry Law. They have to be made in the United States. So anybody that makes something for the military. So whenever, if I have Army boots on, they were made in the U.S. So that, and they're actually cheaper. So. Is there anything else? Any other questions? Jim.
I worked with a guy who owned a thing about his team. He worked in a work called Anna Cement Floor, and he recommended he take safety shoes with steel instruments. He would not spend the money to buy them. He'd buy cheap little shoes, complain about his feet. Why did he keep the right to your shoes?
Yeah, you have to spend time on knowing the gospel. In and out, backwards and forwards, will give you confidence. Spend time, that's good. Spend time. Yep. Anything else? Any other shoe stories? You have some? And how many pairs of shoes do you have at your house? You don't want to know. Dave, you've counted? You snuck into her closet and counted? Can't count that high? Anything else? We're just goofing off now. Let's come sing our closing song.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. The army of God is an all-volunteer army.